So with that said, Dennis, let's jump right in to Matthew chapter 24. And before I do, I want you to pray over this service, and let's just let God move in a mighty way. Amen.
Father, we just thank you for the hope of Jesus Christ. We just thank you that this hour, this is the hour that the church has been waiting for. And we just thank you that we are going to take this opportunity. We're going to believe God. We're going to see great and mighty things done. And you're the God, the invisible God, that's working behind the scenes. We believe you're doing great things that we're not even aware of. And we're moving into a place where the eye hasn't seen, the ear hadn't heard, our mind can't even comprehend the great things, the good things you prepared for us. Even in the midst of famine, in the midst of plagues, Father, you're a great God. We just give you praise today. We thank you that as we open our mouths today, you'll feel it. And I believe people today will not just only be encouraged, but many may even be healed right now as they're hearing the word of God. And we just thank you for the Holy Ghost that's here. And we release him and we yield to him right now in the precious name of Jesus.
Amen. And I hope you'll say amen right at home. Okay. As y'all know, last week we began to talk about the signs of the times. And you need to understand that what we're going through right now is a sign of the return of the Lord Jesus. And we have to start teaching this a little bit more. I think a lot of the churches have been held back by the Lord on, he knew what was going to happen, in other words. And we haven't really dug in to the end of the times. And listen to me, this is not to scare anyone. This should give you hope. Because everything that we do, I'm going to just take off my hat, is hope. Everything we do should be hope. And we cannot be afraid, because listen to me. We need to know that there's no fear in heaven. I mean, say amen to that if you're here. If you're listening, you should say amen, because there's no fear. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So there shouldn't be fear. We should always remain in hope, but we've got to start looking and understanding that we're in the last days. Matter of fact, I believe we're in the last of the last days.
Amen.
Because things are happening really, really fast. And last week, we began to see in Matthew 24, and we went all the way down into verse, I believe it was 13. And the Bible says in 13, "But he shall endure unto the end, and the same shall be saved." And in the former part of that, right above, we began to hear about what some of the signs are. And we talked about it last week. Wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. We had one not very far here in Texas.
We had a big one in Salt Lake City this last week, Utah. A major one. Another one in Salt Lake. They don't have them there.
So, how many of you know we've been seeing earthquakes a long time, but wow, when they start ramping up, the persecution of the body is outrageous. So today, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the very next verse, and we're just going to carry on, and hopefully it'll cause every one of us to get some hope and just understand that this plague doesn't have to come near your dwelling. That's what the word says in Psalms 91. No plague shall come near our dwelling. No sickness, no disease. You have to stand on that. You have to say, body, you're not going to get sick. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. And the more we confess and believe this word, remember when the Bible says all things are possible to him that believes? We've got to start believing that when Jesus died, it was for our benefit. It redeemed us from the curse. It caused us to be able to live in divine health. Even though we live in this fallen, sinful world, we don't have to participate in it. We get to be free from it in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's jump right in. If you have your Bible, I want you to go get it. Matthew chapter 24, and let's begin in verse 14. And here's what Jesus said, and the gospel, or he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What do you think that means to us believers?
Well, this gospel is being preached right now, but right now we're seeing it preached on live. We're seeing it not just here. This prophecy is already being fulfilled. There's this gospel going out all over the world on live streams and everything else. We have Vimeo now. We have Facebook. We have all kinds of different things. YouTube. So something, I mean, we've already fulfilled that part. This gospel being spread everywhere. People have iPhones over in Africa, in the desolate places they have iPhones. So this gospel is being spread. So these things are already being fulfilled right now.
And how many know that we need the gospel?
Yes.
But here's something that the Bible talks about when it says good news. I believe it's time that we start receiving the Word of God as good news, and we start living by it.
That's right.
I think what's going to happen is when you start talking about end times, I think it's going to cause a whole bunch of us that are even watching right now to truly get, what's a good word, involved in the kingdom of God. Not just every now and then. Not just having that helmet of salvation on and thanking God that you're going to go to heaven and not hell, but understanding that we're living in perilous times. We're living in some times that we desperately need God. But you're also going to see some things happening that we're fixing to read that is a sign. These things prophetically have been told way back when that they were going to happen in these days. And so thank God that we're getting the gospel preached to us. Thank God that we're going to get more hooked into the kingdom of God and start coming to church and start being at Bible study and start living and reading by the Word of God daily, and not just every now and then when things go bad. I mean, we're going to get hooked up on the Word of God because of this pandemic. We're going to get so fired up that the devil is going to continue to get madder, and God's people are going to continue to be blessed more and more and more. And I'm telling you, you ought to jump up and shout at home. You know, we got hope, praise God.
Well, Isaiah 60 says that the darkness would cover the earth and gross darkness people, but he doesn't stop there. He says, but arise, shine. That's a prophecy of the last day's church. That didn't just Jesus shine up. He says, you arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then he said, the Gentiles shall come to the brightness of their rising. Corey, right now the church is rising up. We have a lot of darkness going on, but you know, we have a lot of things happening. And people have been calling evil for a long time. And finally, God says, you know, enough's enough. And it's the culmination of all these things are coming together now. I mean, God's saying right now, this is the age of the church. You know, people have mocked the church. They mock the Word of God. The Bible says, if you've lost your salt, or your flavor, you're worth nothing but to be tread upon by the feet of men. And the church has been kind of walked on. But God says, it's enough. And we say, it's enough. Something's about to happen here, and God's going to rise up in power. And this is the hour of the church right now. This is the day that we've been dreaming of. This is the hope of the church, the hour we're living in right now.
Amen. That ought to be exciting to
us. Yes.
So, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Look at verse 15.
Woo.
When ye, by the way, Jesus is talking here again. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand it. I think it's going to, and we may not get past this one, because when you start studying out this one, wow, it's deep. But let's start talking about what Jesus is talking about the abomination of desolation.
You know, the Bible says that God will not always strive with man. And there comes a time where God says it's enough. You know, this nation has cried out for darkness. We've murdered babies. We've all kind of weird sexual orientation stuff that we've had. We've been kind of perverted the Word of God, been afraid to preach the gospel. And the worst thing we've done in America is we've been like the days of Noah. We're too busy for God. We're too busy for church. You know, so a lot of things have been going on. God's been very patient with us. But if you look at this verse 15, God says, I've had enough. There's something terrible that happens here. Daniel prophesied that there would be something would happen in the temple of God. There'd be a desecration that was so awful that it was a tipping point where God says, okay, mankind has come to the place where they can no longer rule themselves. They've proven what they will do without me. And God says, okay, I am God. Everybody say, let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost.
Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost.
Let God be God. And God says, he declares himself. He says, you'll see this abomination of desolation. There's an abomination going on. We've been doing things that are abominable to God. But finally he says, there's one thing that's going to kick this off. There's going to be something that happens. And Daniel prophesied. He said in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, he says, they shall pollute the sanctuary and shall take away the continual daily burnt offering, and they shall set up in the sanctuary the abomination that astonishes, or something that produces great fear, and it makes desolate. There's something that's going to happen that's going to cause a temple to be destroyed, the Jewish church be destroyed, and you're going to see something so awful that happens here that even it grieves the Spirit of God so bad, and it grieves the Jewish people so bad, they finally realize they've messed up. And next verse say, flee the mountains. Get out of there. It's because the wrath of God's coming. Now, this Matthew speaks to things to Christians. It speaks to Jews. It also speaks to the timing of the coming, the approximate coming, but also speaks what's going to happen to people who don't believe. Now, this is a scary part. You know, God is a merciful God. Everybody say, his habit is to show mercy.
Is to show mercy.
The greatest thing about the glory of God is his mercy. But there comes a point where God says, when you keep thumbing your nose at me, finally I'm going to say, okay, you're not going to come. I'm just going to have to deal with this situation. You know, God's holy. And he loves people, but he hates sin. Why does he hate sin? Because sin destroys people. So here, he speaks of this abomination of desolation, and he speaks again at the place, and if you look at verse chapter 9, he says, at the place of worship, a desecrating obscenity will be set up and remain until finally the desecrator himself is decisively destroyed. This man of sin will come, and we're going to read it in 1 Thessalonians just a second. This man of sin will come, and he will set up a statue of himself, and he will demand people to make obeisance to him and demand the world to give him honor and bow down to him. And God says, okay, you finally cross the line.
Now, what do we call that, though, y'all? I mean, I looked up this word abomination. You know what it means? It means a major covenant violation or idolism, when you're idling. That's exactly what Dennis is talking about, when you're idling other things. In rodeo, I've heard it many times, you know, someone will say the roping gods, you know, did you good or whatever. How many of you know that's really close to idling something other than our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we have to be careful about idling anything. And that's what exactly they were going to make, an idol of someone other than God. And that is very, very dangerous, y'all. So what Dennis is talking about is happening. And I know it's talking about Jerusalem and the temple, but really, where does the Spirit of God live right now? In this temple, our temple, the flesh. And we've got to take care of that in a mighty way. So go on.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, if you're turning there, give you a little time, just a second here. But Paul's speaking. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together with him. Now, he's speaking of two events here. The coming of the Lord is talking about the second advent, or the return of Christ, where he touches his feet on the Mount of Olives. But then he also talked about our gathering together. That's the rapture here. That you be not soon shaken in mind. Everybody say, not shaken. God doesn't want his church worried. God wants his church shouting, because we're getting close to the end times. And when you see these things, you should lift up your voice and shout. Your redemption is drawing near. He doesn't want us shaken, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first. And we don't have time to teach on that.
that man of sin, there's that man that's going to set up the idolatry in the temple, be revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God, so that his worship, that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So God's saying right here that this is an event. This is the tipping point. He wants us to be ready. When this happens, now hopefully we've already been raptured in these situations. We're not getting into eschatology right now, but many people will still remain, and many people will still be getting saved, whether we're raptured or not. The word of God's still producing, and there's people there, even Jews getting saved at this time. So there's something that's radically happening here in this event here. And he starts to talk. Now he's going to start dealing with the Jewish, especially the Jewish nation here, if you want to start in verse, that next verse here. Yeah, in verse 16. Then let those which are in Jerusalem flee to the mountains. What's he saying here? He says it's safer to go into the lion's den where the lions live in the mountains is to stay with these Jews that are compromising, allowing their temple to be desecrated. There's something terrible going on here. Then he says here, let him which is the househop not come down, but take anything out of his house. Let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. I'm so excited, I can't even talk. this excites me because there's an urgency here. Everybody say urgency.
Urgency.
Don't even take time to get your clothes. Don't even look for your iPhone. Get out of Dodge. It's time to move. Because God's fixing to do something. He wants, everybody say separation.
Separation.
He's separating people who love him. Don't you hang around this temple. Don't you hang around this idolatry. Get yourself out. It's time you get in a good church that's preaching truth too.
Amen.
It's time to move and make and separate yourself and sanctify your lives. And you go where you have to go, but get out fast. And he says, woe to them that are what? Woe to them that are in child and them that give suck of those days. In other words, it's going to be tough if you have a child or you're sucking, you have a little infant, but pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath day. We can talk about that too, but Corey?
And then, you know, look again. Let me back up because, again, all of this is trying to help us see the signs of the times but remain in hope. And I think that it's so important that we don't get in fear in any kind of things like this. No, stay in faith because faith is going to be what's going to get you through everything right now. Everything. And I know that we're going to be getting into the rapture here in a little bit, like Dennis was talking about, and all of this junk doesn't pertain to us because we're protected. But again, we have to still understand that a lot of these times are upon us. And I'm not talking about some of these bad things. A lot of this stuff's going to be happening right in the middle of the you know, what's the Bible call it when we're raptured out of here? Tribulation. And that great tribulation is, thank God, I don't want to be here. How about y'all? I mean, you don't want to be here during a tribulation time.
Corey, what we're seeing, though, is that we're seeing these birth pains, so not that we'll be there in the great tribulation. I don't know about it. I'm a pre-trib type guy. I believe we're leaving. But
I want to go.
There are some overlapping things. There are some things that the Jewish nation, he's dealing with the Jewish nation, he's dealing with Christians, and he's getting Jews to become Christians. So there's a lot of overlapping now. We're coming to an end of an age, so he's bringing the Jews to Jesus, bringing the Christians to Jesus. So you're seeing a lot of things will overlap, and the way that he's doing these things isn't always just bam, bam, bam. You're seeing parts of what he's doing with the church, parts of what he's doing with the Jewish nation. So you're seeing a lot of things happening here at the same time.
Which, again, is why he uses this birthing, is because it happens over, in, as we know, 9 months of birthing a child. And man, they come in cycles of that kid moving, and then when he's ready to come out, there's some intensity. I've seen even men. I don't know if you've ever seen that, how men have they just want to experience what it is to have a child. I'll never do that. Praise God. And
thank you, Corey. Thank you.
They are set up, and they have all those pains, and oh Jesus, I would be saying, give me some medicine in the back, epidural time, baby. I mean, I don't want to go through any of that, but see, again, a woman really understands this more than even us men, because man, when it's time to have a child, when I was in the hospital with my wife, I mean, you know when it's fixing to happen, and it gets more and more intense. That's what's happening right now. It's getting more and more intense. But look, where'd you go to about, you went to about 19. Look at verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, but look at 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen, or was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be.
Well, what are we seeing right now? We've never seen a virus that had a spirit attached, a spirit of fear attached to it like this. We've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. I was telling some young kids, I'm 66 years old. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. There's something. So again, we're talking about that overlap. This is talking about the Great Tribulation where God deals with the Jewish nation. But there will be people who are not Jews there that didn't get saved. There will be people there. And supposing, Corey, the key word to all this is preparation in it.
That's so true.
The key is we should be prepared. And maybe we won't be there for the tribulation period, but what's going to happen if we get, there's some overlap and it gets pretty tough and we're getting thinking, well, I thought, where's the rapture going to hurt? You got to stay true to God no matter what happens. In the world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. Be courageous. Be encouraged, for I have overcome the world.
Well, think about it. A lot of people might confuse this virus and what's happening with our country. Wow, there are states, y'all, that are completely shut down. They are having orders to stay home. In Texas, we haven't gone that far, but I would have never thought that we couldn't gather more than 10 people. That's all that you see us kind of looking down, because there's about 10 people in here, including us, that we're kind of looking at like they're the crowd, you know. They're Ricky and, you know, our band and people that are running the camera, and we're looking at them, and, you know, I want to see somebody, but yet 10 people? Wow. I mean, I can't imagine what's happening in our country. The fear that has taken over our country. Imagine, and that's why I pray for our president. I don't care what you believe. You better pray for President Trump. It's amazing what he has to be going through. The stock market that was the best it's ever been in the history of our country is now almost the worst it's ever been. I mean, people are so in fear. We're seeing things happening in the economy. I saw where just one day there was over 40 or 50,000 people that filed for unemployment. Just a few weeks ago, a month ago, we had the best unemployment rate in history for everyone. And now look at it. So what you said, Dennis, about this virus having a devil, a demon attached to it, called fear, it's came across us. And who's going to get us out of fear? Us, knowing who we are in Christ. Us, you know, when I had the conference call with Judge Gravel and the emergency management team, it was last week after our service. We had a full crowd here last week. And I didn't know that just in 3 hours after our service ended, that he would issue an order not allowing over 50. I mean, panic set in right then. How are we going to do that? We're going to have 5 services? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is based a lot of times in fear, how we respond. I'm trying to teach my family that how we respond to this is how we're going to come out of it. If we respond in fear, that spirit of fear is going to try to attach itself on us and different ways in our marriage and in our finances and in our health. But how we handle this and we remain calm, because in that conference call, that's exactly what the judge said. We need a sense of calmness. We need people preaching calm. Stay and remain calm. Because in some states, they're not calm. Go to HEB. It's not calm. Oh, Jesus. I mean, me and my wife went to three the other day just trying to find one product. And then we had to have someone, I think it was Heidi, had to go to Marble Falls early just to get us some different items that we just couldn't find. They were out. I don't know about y'all, but that is a spirit of fear. And we can't not allow that to come in our lives. I mean, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Okay, so that's really, again, what I always want to... Dennis is going to be here. He's going to teach this stuff. And we can get really, really deep, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
But if God allows us to, we're going to get deep. But I'm going to remain as someone that continues to preach hope. That's how we both of us are. We're going to continue to say, don't you dare get in fear. No, stay in faith. So when it talks about great tribulation, this is a part of it. This, we're not in the tribulation time, though. I believe we're going to be getting out of here. Jesus is going to come in that cloud and separate it, and then he's going to appear. And the Bible says, us that are here, his elect, are going to be called up to meet him in the air. The ones that are here. And you need to be ready for that. You need to be saved. You need to have Jesus as the Lord of your life. And so, but we still have to talk about some of these things. Look at verse 22. Jesus says, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What does that mean to you, Dennis?
Well, God always has a remnant of people who can trust him. Even if the raptures occur, the church is gone, there's still people there who are hearing, there's still preachers that realize, hey, I missed the boat. The recipe for evangelism is in Jude, where it says, some you save with compassion, but some you save with fear or pulling out of the strong. So this whole Matthew is a wake-up call that there's going to be people that have rejected Christ. There are going to be evil people who will never be born again, who are evil, running the nation, everything else. So God's going to have to deal with those elements. So I almost started crying while there's intercession on me. When you were just talking a while ago, the spirit of intercession almost hit me. But we can't pull the stop and not talk about these things that are happening. We can't pull the stop and say, well, we can't talk about the wrath of Jesus. There's a wrath of the Lamb that people are going to actually say, rocks fall on us. Now, what's that wrath? That wrath is him revealing his glory, and people have held on to sin, and the sin's going to be destroyed with, and they'll be destroyed with it. And we need to warn them. If we don't, they're going to hell.
Now, don't take that in a negative way for us, like, well, that's why the truck broke down.
No, no.
Because that's how the devil deceives a lot of people, how, you know, he tries to start saying, well, God's punishing you. God's humbling you. God's all those things. Don't ever go in that direction that God's then getting the blame for bad things. But I'm here to tell you, sin causes bad things in our lives. And we've got to get purged from those things. The Bible calls it like cutting that limb, you know, so that we can grow in some areas. Don't take it as if God's going to, you know, put cancer on you to teach you a lesson. That's not what this is talking about.
No, not at all.
And that's not what we are saying. But what we are saying is we've got to get right with God.
Let me say something that will shock some of you, and I hope it doesn't shock our pastor here, but the Bible says that God's angry with the wicked both day and night. He's angry. He's furious at the wicked. Does he hate wicked people?
Of course not.
Does he love wicked people? Why is he angry? Because if you have a little 2 or 3 year old girl and she comes to that stove and is going to touch that stove, you say, "No, it's hot. And she mama, dad. She starts crying. And you're going to say, I told you. God hates sin. It destroys people. Jesus came to save his people from the thing that destroys them. It's sin. So we need to be afraid to talk about sin. I'm an evangelist too. I'm a Holy Ghost evangelist. I can preach out there in a tent and tell people God will set you free from sin. And the people say, "You're condemning people." No, they're getting saved. I mean, right after left, and people say, "You're condemning." No, I'm telling you, you need to get right with God because sin's destroying you. What condemns people is not the word that sets them free. What destroys them is the sin that's holding them in bondage.
And you need to write amen on your phone. You need to say, "That's right." Because I think we have gotten so far away from talking about sin and how bad it is that we have, for lack of a better word, we've kind of been in a place where we don't count it serious, and sin is serious. I remember one time I made someone mad. Oh, because I compared like murder with a white lie. Well, what I was meaning is it in God's eyes or whatever, there's no comparison because a sin is a sin. And so all we're trying to say here is don't get into condemnation. Don't get into guilt. Why don't we just start allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us to get away from sin? And sometimes that means not hanging out with people. That's sin. I've always said it like this, though. We should always have a heathen friend so that we can get them saved and then get another heathen friend. But that doesn't mean we need to become a heathen with them. We need to say that we're not going to be like that. We are set apart. We are peculiar because Jesus lives on the inside of us. I think this is a time that, yes, we do need some purging. We need some pruning. We need to allow God to remove some things that can get us into fear and help us understand that if it's sin, we don't want to have anything to do with it.
I'll give you a quick testimony. I was preaching at under the tent over at Old Tarf Boulevard in Austin, Texas one night. I was preaching Jesus, and all of a sudden this lady just jumped up off her chair and flopped on the ground, began to flop around, and all of a sudden she started swelling up with all kinds of stuff, and it was like welts all over her. Well, everybody thought fire, and they stopped. Everybody said, and I said, "Get away from her! Just get away from her!" And all of a sudden, I just said, "I rebuke you, spirit of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus Christ." And she involved in witchcraft; she was putting curses on people. And God set her free of that witchcraft. God is going to deal with sin, and he's scared. Matter of fact, that same lady came to another tent meeting, and one night I prayed for her, and the glory of God hit me so strong. Light hit like a lightning bolt, hit the back of my head. I prayed for her, and that lightning struck her so bad. I mean, that light hit her so hard, it knocked her back, and she was blind. She was blind, could not. Now, she's used to putting curses on people. Everybody say the love of God.
The love of God.
Now, that seems really harsh, but there's some harsh things that need to be done to set people free of harsh things. And the power of God hit her, and they had to lead her out. She did not receive her sight until 4 o'clock the next morning. And now today, she graduated from the Assembly of God Bible School, and she's one of our biggest fans, and we love her. She's set free, but she was involved with witchcraft and all kinds of stuff. God's setting people free from sin, and now she's preaching the gospel.
Yeah, and I tell you what's happening. What's happening, and you can see it all over because, I mean, I've never had so many friends on Facebook and followers. It's because people need hope. They need to know the truth. But for us believers, us Christians, man, we're protected. But still, we've got to make sure that what we say and how we act is according to the Word of God. Does that mean we stop roping? Of course not. Does that mean we stop having fun and doing the things to enjoy this life? No, we continue to do it. But I think these times are starting to bring back the old Baptist, that old fire and brimstone preaching, not to scare, not to put fear into you, but to get us more fired up. Because listen to me, the Bible says in these last days that there's going to be some that fall away from the faith. You don't want to be one of those. You want to be one that gets that runs to God. I teach a lot of college kids, and I'm sure a lot of them are watching right now that I've ministered to over the years. But listen to me. I've always said when you sin, don't run from God, run to Him. Because a lot of people need to understand that we need to run to God. Maybe we're still revealing some things and allowing some things to be pushed out of our lives that are causing us to sin. If that's the case, just let it happen. We're not going to get in guilt. We're going to continue to remain knowing a Jesus that loves us. And I think that's why you said that. Say God loves us. Because He does. He loves us. But in these days, there's not going to be any fence sitters. You're not going to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. We're either going to be for God 100%, still doing and enjoying things. My Lord, you can rope and ride bulls and, you know, do the things that you enjoy to do with God way better than you can without Him. Because without Him, that's when there's all the things that we're talking about. Fear, all the forming idols, the desolation, the abominations, all these things that are happening in front of us that will happen way more when we leave and we're called out of this. By the way, we're just gone 7 years. We're just gone 7 years, and then we come back for a 1,000-year reign. So understand that I want my life right now. I'm not saying that I haven't made mistakes. I'm just saying that I want to start doing things God's way. And so for Him to teach us through messages like this it's an important thing. I mean, we need this more than any other time. We need to know that He loves us, and when we do mess up, there is mercy, there is grace. But why can't we live in God's kingdom not having those desires of sin?
What are you seeing here today? You're seeing a guy that's full of fire, evangelist type, you know, like a prophetic type fire of evangelist guy, and you're seeing a pastor. We're seeing a balance here. This is going to have to happen here. This is something that I see beautiful. I'll say something strong. He'll come and explain, well, we don't, you know.
It's always been the opposite.
We need.
Or I'm saying it strong. We need someone to calm down.
Well, that's right. That's why I'm here. We need that voice. We need that voice and that temperance. God's preparing you for something that's so pretty heavy here.
Yeah.
And we need that working together. We need that. If somebody comes and preaches against sin, and the church people get mad because Dennis is preaching too hard, but people are getting saved. That's what it takes to get them saved. Then Pastor Corey comes and says, hold on, we need the fivefold ministry in the church, and just let, you know, he's not preaching, he's preaching, leaving the 99, he's preaching to one or two, so calm down.
Amen. I said that before, calm down now.
Yeah, that's right. So this is exciting. This Matthew 24 is our wake-up call. Look, it's getting serious, it's time to evangelize, it's time to also make use of the local church. You're going to need the comfort of the local church. Why do you think an evangelist? I was a pastor for 22 years. I'm over here, come over here with multiple gifts. But I'll tell you what, I need the local church. I need a pastor. He's 16 years younger than I am, but I'm under that authority. We need that authority, the local church. But we also need the fire. We need the holy. In these hours, there needs to be there needs to be an authority in men of God. Where are the fathers? Where are those men that have that authority? Where's the Lester Summeralls? They're out there. But you need the local church to get settled back down. And that's what this is all about here. You know, I'm just so excited about this hour. This is the hour of the church. It is. And the local church, too. Amen.
Well, listen, y'all. We're going to get you fired up. We're going to cause you to remain calm. But in all of that, we want you to understand the times that we're living in. We have never seen this before. We've never seen a virus that has caused our whole country to be shut down. We can't even have rodeos. I had to move our rodeo from April into May. And I'm believing God. And by the way, I believe that prophetic word that's coming forth, that God is telling the prophets that are speaking to us people, that this virus is going to die way before you think it is. This is not going to last a long period of time. I command that virus to die in Jesus' name. And I want all of you to agree to that. I mean, even write, "I agree," on your screen, or at least say it. "I agree that this virus that has caused so much trouble, so much fear, dies in Jesus' name."
And it's waking up a sleeping giant. It really is. It's the church is coming alive.
It's making all of us say, "We're not having it."
Nope.
We're not having to shut down our country and go inside and not have church service. Again, we're having church service next week, and we're going to drive in to this parking lot. We've got a big parking lot. We can fit hundreds and hundreds of vehicles, and we're going to allow you to drive in and hear the Word of God. And I'm going to be on horseback, and I'm going to preach it. And you can't get out of your cars, but next Sunday at 10:30, I want to see parking lots full of people that know we may have to stay in our car right now. But praise God, we're not forsaking the assembly. We're gonna continue to preach this gospel. And our band is going to be on a trailer. I'm starting to wind this down. Have you noticed?
Right.
I'm going to wind this down because I feel like the Lord, since we're on camera, I mean, we don't have to just go on and on and on, because there's so much here, I think we better let a lot of them digest it.
Right.
You know, it, just like that biscuit. Oh, man, it's good. But it's got to be digested a little bit. Calm down. Let it just simmer.
Can I say one other thing?
But say it under the Holy Ghost, absolutely.
It says this, in the power, I'm going to skip some verses, "The powers of heaven shall be shaken." These are demon powers over heavenly in the skies. So what we're seeing here, sure, things are happening and it's getting bad. But Jesus is going to, when that abomination happens, Jesus is going to come in, he's going to start tearing down these demons. So you talk about these things, the Bible says the devil knows his time is short. In the midst of this, now God's going to start warring. He's sending angels to war. You're going to start seeing things break down to where major revivals will hit this country here. Satan doesn't rule in America. Jesus rules.
Amen. Did you hear that? Satan does not rule.
He's going to shake the heaven.
Jesus does.
And this chapter says he's going to shake the heaven. He's going to shake some things down. And he said, "I beheld Satan fall the earth." We're going to see another falling of that high powers over the earth there. We're seeing some great things happening. So I'm so excited, because we have a door, window of opportunity here.
Amen. And let's go through it. Amen. Let's get through this. Now, again, I want you to pray for President Trump. I want you to pray for his family. I want you to pray for all of our government. I want you to pray for our governor, Mr. Abbott. I want you to pray for everybody that's in authority, our Judge Gravel, all of our judges, our police, our hospitals, wow, that are being overrun right now. I mean, you can't even just have a surgery that, I mean, if it doesn't pertain to coronavirus, then they're putting you off. Matter of fact, people are in fear. They've called me. They don't even know if they're going to be able to go to their doctor and get some medicine. Whatever it is, this is a great and wonderful time. Listen to me, just led by the Holy Ghost, there's someone that is watching. Bring it back to me, Lord. Someone that's watching, just give me just a second. And you're dealing with, there's different things starting to come to me. High blood pressure. Man, you've been dealing with this high blood pressure, and you're believing that it's gone and healed in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, it is, if you'll just receive that. There's also someone that has major anxiety right now. Major. And And the Lord is just calming you down right now, setting you free in Jesus' name. If you sense anything, you just say it out there. Just give us just a little bit of time, because I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is moving. It was moving earlier, and I just want to make sure that we don't miss anything right now. Praise God. And if you're at home, man, and you're dealing with different things, I want you to start believing. I prayed with a lady last night, and we talked about her son who was diagnosed with Crohn's. His name's Mason. He's 12 years old, and he's dealing with Crohn's. And they had heard that I was healed from Crohn's. And I began to teach her about calling things that be not as though they were. She was so excited when I took her to Romans and Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and started talking about calling things that be not. Because a lot of things aren't manifested. The healing's not manifested. So you've got to start calling it, that manifestation of healing, to come and manifest into your life. That's why you call things that are not, maybe healing is not there right now, as though it were there. So that's why I say, Father, I thank you, Lord, that Mason's digestive system, that spirit of Crohn's, is dead in Jesus' name. Can y'all hear that?
Yeah. In somebody's throat, somebody's listening, your throat is like below your ad, or around your Adam's apple or something like that. It's almost like a choking thing, but it's also just a and what it does is brought fear. So we just cast that fear down, and we just curse this growth or whatever it is that's causing the problem to its roots, and we just say, you're healed right now in the name of Jesus. You receive that right now in Jesus' precious name.
And if that's you, I'm telling you, just write, say, hey, man, that was exactly what I've been going through. Because, see, that's how the Holy Spirit does. He's the third of the Trinity, y'all. I mean, you're going to see a whole lot more of this kind of stuff happening in churches, because God is full of power. The first of the Trinity is the Father. The second of the Trinity is the Son, Jesus. They are both in heaven. They are not here. But the third of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, He's here. And I'm telling you, even at home, He can work in your life. And you're going to start seeing more miracles happening now, just like you're seeing more tribulation happening. And I don't know about you, but I want the miracles. I don't want the tribulation. We're going to see it. I want the miracles. I want to know that if you have high blood pressure, you're healed in Jesus' name. If you have anxiety, and that was you, that's me. I want you to say, no, I'm healed of it in Jesus' name. And even send that to us. Just write it down. Hey, that was me. I'm healed in Jesus' name. If it's something else that's going on in your life, like depression, anything, suicide, then you say, nope, I'm healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just go ahead and end this. Are you good? And by the way, thank you so much. I'm so honored that, you know, hundreds of people will see this even later, but lots of you are on live. I didn't know how many. If there'd just be a few, or man, we've maintained close to 100 the whole time. And then all the family members with you, no telling. And how many people will watch this later? Listen to me. And this is just Facebook. I don't know how many is streaming live on our website. There's a lot doing that. But listen to me. There's one hope. In John, I wish the sound man could play music and you could hear it right now. Just some offering music. But listen, you don't need that. What you need is what John chapter 14 says we need. We need the one person that is the truth. He's the only way. He's the life. The only way to get to the Father is by Him, Jesus. And here's the question. Do you know Him? Now, church is not over. We're gonna say amen and pray here in just a second, and then we'll all go just like we are here at church. So just continue right now to pray with us and listen to me. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Because you will not get to heaven without Him. This tribulation time, people are dying fast of this virus. My main concern is Jesus, the Lord of their lives. If He's not, I want to pray a prayer. Just like we do here every time, I want to ask Jesus to come into our lives. And I know a lot of you are saved. Most of you probably. You know you're going to heaven when you leave this earth. I want you to pray this prayer with the people at your house, in your family, and let's just pray it out loud. But I'm going to pray and ask Jesus to come into someone's life. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. Here's what it says: if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that salvation is what we need now. And then, as you know, we're going to start talking about after you're saved and how to live for God and the signs of the times. I don't know what's going to continue to happen here at this church and at y'all's churches wherever you go. But we're going to continue to live for Him. But are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you died, would you go to heaven, or would you go to a place called hell that we don't talk about much? The place. I want you to go to heaven, obviously. I know Dennis does. I know your family wants you to go to heaven. But are you saved? If you're not, right where you're at. And I know all the church people, we're going to pray it even at home. I hope at my house they're ready to pray this prayer all together. You ready? We're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives. So, out of your mouth, I want you to pray right after me. And when you pray it, mean everything you pray. But let's ask Jesus to come into our lives if there's one person watching that has never given their lives to Jesus. You ready? Let's all do it. Wherever you're at, let's all pray this prayer together. And listen to me. If you're saved, the reason I do this is you need to learn this prayer. Because in these days, if a virus can stop the United States from functioning, we need Jesus more than ever. And you'll be able to lead others to Jesus that's not watching. You just have a heart for them. You don't want them to go to hell. This is how you learn this prayer. That's why I want everybody to pray it. You ready? Let's pray it just like this. Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart.
Open the door of my heart.
And I confess that Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus, come into my life.
Jesus, come into my life.
And save me.
And save me.
Be my friend.
Be my friend.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
I thank you that today, not only am I forgiven, but I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. And I pray this prayer to you, the Father, but in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I know right where you're sitting, maybe you gave your life to Jesus. Maybe this was the first time that you ever actually prayed and said, Jesus, come into my life. If that's you privately, you can do it publicly if you want to, but privately, I want you just to send us a private message and say, hey, I received Jesus. I'm not going to call you, not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to rejoice with you that you gave your life to Jesus. Please do that. If you need anything until Tuesday night, we're still going to have Bible study. We just have to do it with less than 10 people. So Heidi has a list that is building for the next month or two, or until this is released. We can only have 10 people here, and we're going to abide by that, guys. We're not going to be disobedient to our government, because they're not saying we can't meet. They're saying for a short time we can't meet publicly like this, but we can still have church. And so we're going to abide by them. Now, if they were saying we're going to start stopping churches, we're going to rebel. That's not happening. because we're going to keep preaching this gospel. But Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, I'm not sure who's even preaching. Does anybody know that's here? Joni? Joni is watching, by the way, not very far in a camp trailer right outside this church. And she's going to be preaching or teaching Bible study. And we're going to have 9 others with her here so she can at least preach to someone. And Heidi has the list who's already asked to come. So if you're not on the list, watch us. Just watch it live. And a lot of people watched it live last week. So Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we'll go live again, just like you're watching now. And then next Sunday, spread the word. We are having church here, but we're doing it as a drive-in church service. You drive in, you park, and we're going to preach the word of God. We're going to sing, and then I'm going to get on a horse, and I'm going to just go through the cars, and I'm going to preach the gospel. Please spread the word and tell everybody, even if they don't have a church, or if they do have a church and they just want to come together, this is a great way to show the devil we're not stopping church. We're going to come and we're going to park. Bring some friends with you. Just don't have more than 10. That'd be crazy anyway, right? I used to have a car when I was little, a 1976 Lincoln Town car. I could fit 17 in there. Don't do that. We can only have 10, though. Amen. I sure hope you enjoyed. Let me pray before we dismiss. Again, man, it's going to be so fun. Spread the word. We're going to get the advertisement out. Be watching on our Facebook, Williamson County Cowboy Church Facebook, and all the other Facebook sites. We'll start getting the word out that we're having drive-in church next Sunday at 10:30. So don't miss it. Hope you had a good time. Please write and say, hey, I had a blast. Thank you for at least having it. And y'all, keep praying for us. Keep praying for us. We have to continue on no matter what, even if we're not together. Remember, please give if you can. Keep these churches going, y'all. Pastors have an opportunity to get in fear, but we're not. We're going to stay in faith knowing that all our church members are going to continue to give and make sure the church functions and continues to pay bills and things like that. Amen. Again, 2 ways to give. You can go to wccowboychurch.org, and there's a give button, or bring it up here. It doesn't matter. But we love you. And if you need some help, man, don't worry about hollering at us and let us know. I need help financially. Man, we're a giving church. Amen. Let me pray, and we'll end this broadcast. Father, thank you so much for the multitude of people that were watching this broadcast. God, I thank you, Lord, that as me and Dennis shared just what we were instructed by God to do, I thank you, Lord, that it won't return void, that we're here to be able to reach the unreachable, the lost, but even all us born-again people that just need a reminder that it's so important to live 100% for you in these days. Not to get into fear, but to stay and remain in faith. Continuing to grow and learn about you through the Word of God. So we're going to continue to do that. I ask you in Jesus' name, sir, all the ones that may have given their lives to you that were just watching, Father, thank you that they have hope now, that no matter what goes on in this world, there's hope that we get to see you in heaven one day. But we can have heaven here on earth. We can have it here. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have all the benefits of your promises while we live here. And I just thank you, Lord, that this virus will pass, because all the believers right now are believing that it's dead. It will not come nigh us in Jesus' name. And I just pray that people will have a wonderful week full of faith. Increase their finances, Lord. Increase people's health in Jesus' name, that we have an abundance of good health. Thank you, Lord, that people that are lonely and by themselves in nursing homes, that they have you to turn to. You love on them. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that this will die and pass, and our country will be back. The stock market will take off. Unemployment will drop just like it was. People will work. They'll enjoy life. They'll have a good time. And you, sir, will get all the honor and glory in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you, man. Thanks for being here. We're signing out. Love you. Bye-bye.